You're listening to an African Elements top news story for May 26, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Wait. Why the Pope apologized for Vatican slavery history. On May 25, 2026, Pope Leo XIV released his highly anticipated first encyclical, titled Magnifica Humanitas. This document marks a major turning point in the global history of the Roman Catholic Church. In this papal letter, the Pope issued a formal, institutional apology for the role of the Vatican in the transatlantic slave trade. This declaration represents a significant shift from previous papal announcements on the subject. Historically, sitting popes apologized for the sins of individual Christian believers. For example, Pope John Paul II apologized in 1985 for the moral failures of individual slave traders. However, the encyclical of Pope Leo XIV directly addressed the actions of the papal office itself. He acknowledged that the Vatican historically provided the theological and moral legitimization for human bondage. Consequently, this historic gesture has reignited international debates surrounding global reparations and institutional accountability. The personal background of Pope Leo XIV adds deep significance to this historic apology. Born Robert Francis Prevost, he became the first pontiff from the United States in May 2025. He is also the first pope in history with documented biracial and multi-ethnic ancestry. Genealogists have confirmed that the maternal Louisiana Creole lineage of Pope Leo XIV contains black heritage. Specifically, historical records identify 17 of his maternal ancestors as Creoles of color. His maternal grandfather, Joseph Martinez, was a Haitian cigar maker classified as black in the 1900 United States Census. This Haitian history and resistance connects the pontiff directly to the historic struggle against human bondage. His maternal grandmother, Louise Baquier, was a mixed-race native of New Orleans. Meanwhile, his paternal lineage includes Sicilian and French immigrant roots. This unique heritage bridges the historical trauma of the Americas with the highest office of the Catholic Church. To understand the necessity of this apology, one must examine the historical framework established by the Vatican. During the 15th century, the papal office issued several binding decrees known as papal bulls. These documents provided European empires with the legal and religious authority to subjugate non-Christian populations. The transatlantic slave trade grew directly from this theological foundation. In 1452, Pope Nicholas V issued the bull Dum Diversus to King Afonso V of Portugal. This decree authorized the Portuguese crown to capture and subdue non-Christians and reduce their persons to perpetual slavery. In 1455, the follow-up bull Romanus Pontifex granted Portugal a monopoly over trade and conquest along the West African coast. Later, in 1493, Pope Alexander VI issued the bull Inter Caetera. This document established the doctrine of discovery, dividing the non-Christian world between Spain and Portugal. This doctrine promoted an ideology of European superiority and denied the sovereignty of indigenous populations. The doctrine of discovery did not remain a mere religious concept. Instead, it became deeply integrated into secular international law. In 1823, the United States Supreme Court codified the doctrine in the landmark ruling Johnson v. McIntosh. This decision established that indigenous tribes lost full rights to their land upon discovery by European explorers. This ruling imported the religious biases of 15th century Europe into the legal system of the United States. Consequently, the legal status of lands across North America remains tied to these religious decrees. Following decades of activism by indigenous and black communities, the Vatican formally repudiated the doctrine of discovery in March 2023. However, critics noted that the Church did not officially rescind the underlying papal bulls. In Magnifica Humanitas, Pope Leo XIV addressed this lingering issue. He officially dismantled the theological and moral validity of Dum Diversus and Romanus Pontifex. This action serves as a crucial step in deconstructing the legal scaffolding of global colonization. Although some apologists point to historical attempts by the Church to curb slavery, these efforts were often inconsistent or completely hollow. For instance, in 1537, Pope Paul III issued the bull Sublimis Deus, which forbade the enslavement of indigenous peoples in the Americas. However, Under intense political pressure, the Pope annulled the accompanying penal bull only a year later.
Consequently, the decree lost its enforcement power. Furthermore, the bull failed to protect West Africans from the rapidly expanding transatlantic trade. Similarly, Pope Gregory XVI condemned the slave trade in his 1839 decree in Supremo Apostolatus. Yet, Catholic slaveholders in the United States argued that this condemnation did not apply to domestic slavery. Catholic institutions, including major religious orders, continued to hold, buy, and sell enslaved human beings. The Society of Jesus operated large plantations in Maryland to support their missionary work and academic institutions. In 1838, the leaders of the Maryland Jesuits sold 272 enslaved individuals to plantations in Louisiana to keep Georgetown College afloat. It was not until 1888, with the encyclical of Pope Leo XIII in Plurimus, that the Church fully condemned slavery in all forms. As Pope Leo XIV observed, it took 18 centuries for the Church to explicitly recognize the incompatibility of Christian doctrine with slavery. The complicity of the Catholic Church extended beyond global decrees into local parishes. In the United States, historical segregation within the Church subjected Black Catholics to systematic exclusion and humiliation. Within multiracial parishes, Black parishioners were forced to sit in segregated areas. These areas typically included the back pews or upper galleries of the building. Furthermore, priests required Black Catholics to wait to receive Holy Communion until all white parishioners had finished. Some parishes even utilized separate sacred vessels to distribute the Eucharist to Black communicants. In urban areas such as Milwaukee, Baltimore, and St. Louis, the Church established separate mission parishes. This practice physically isolated Black Catholics from white congregations. These segregated systems were not restricted to southern states. Parishes in northern cities also enforced strict racial boundaries to keep congregations divided. Consequently, many Black Catholics felt like second-class citizens within their own spiritual home. In his 2026 encyclical, Pope Leo XIV did not confine his focus to historical analysis. Instead, he connected historical exploitation to modern technological developments. The Pope warned that unregulated artificial intelligence is giving rise to digital colonialism. This concept directly mirrors the historical extraction patterns of the colonial era. To build physical hardware for AI networks, global technology firms rely heavily on rare earth minerals. This extraction process often relies on severe exploitation in former colonies. For example, the Democratic Republic of Congo supplies 70% of the global cobalt supply. Within these mines, thousands of children and adults work under toxic, slave-like conditions. Furthermore, digital companies outsource low-wage data labor to the global south. Workers in countries such as Kenya and the Philippines endure psychological trauma while filtering toxic content for low pay. This ongoing economic extraction mimics past systems of colonial exploitation. This framework of digital colonialism also connects directly to the domestic African-American experience. Pope Leo XIV warned that algorithms trained on biased historical datasets reinforce systemic discrimination. In the United States, automated systems exacerbate inequalities in credit access, hiring practices, and healthcare delivery. This digital redlining entrenches historic economic divides under the guise of technological neutrality. Additionally, the rise of facial recognition and predictive policing software disproportionately targets Black neighborhoods. These AI-driven surveillance tools frequently misidentify Black individuals, leading to wrongful arrests and increased state control. Therefore, the legacy of historical subjugation persists through modern software code. By linking historical slavery to the current digital landscape, the Pope highlighted the urgent need to address algorithmic bias. The historic apology by Pope Leo XIV has reignited calls for concrete action. Scholars and activists argue that formal words must be accompanied by material restitution. Within Black Catholic communities, there is an urgent demand for the preservation of historically Black parishes. Due to urban reorganization, many of these historical spaces face closure or consolidation. Direct financial reinvestment is necessary to protect these communities. Furthermore, scholars call for mandatory educational reforms within Catholic institutions. They demand the incorporation of Black Catholic history into parish schools and seminaries. In addition, communities are calling for the establishment of university scholarship funds. These funds should support African American students and descendants of those enslaved by Catholic institutions. The failures of emancipation continue to impact families, making targeted educational funding highly critical.
These programs support the continued resilience of Black families in the face of enduring inequalities. Finally, the Catholic hierarchy must diversify its leadership. Activists demand the deliberate appointment of Black bishops and administrators. Some institutions have already begun this work. For instance, the descendants of the GU 272, the 272 enslaved people sold by Maryland Jesuits in 1838, partnered with the Jesuits to create the Descendants Truth and Reconciliation Foundation. The Jesuits committed $27 million to this trust, with a goal of raising $100 million. This initiative demonstrates how collaborative institutional reparations can begin to heal historical wounds. Copyright, African Elements.